Jeff Wiltse is the author of Contested Waters, A Social History of Swimming Pools in America. The first municipal swimming pools opened in the late 19th century, and they were designed to serve as public baths for the poor and the working class. Wiltse told Anne Strangchamps how the municipal pools began to reflect the tensions of modern America during the 20th century.
The real social trauma that emerges is racial violence. And so when cities gender-integrated pools, that's also when city officials and white swimmers became determined to exclude black Americans, to exclude black swimmers. And so I found, unfortunately, many instances in which black swimmers were quite literally beaten out of the water by white swimmers at gender-integrated pools. And so that was one of the social consequences of gender integration.
Were there ever stories of black swimmers being seriously injured, drowned even by white swimmers?
I never found instances in which a black swimmer was drowned. I did, however, find many instances in which they were hospitalized with pretty severe injuries. And there's one kind of, really sad example in St. Louis, and this was actually in 1949, when Fairgrounds Park Pool had been desegregated. And so a local public official decided that, the social trend of the times is towards racial integration, and so let's integrate Fairgrounds Pool. Well, the day that it opened, a couple dozen black swimmers came to swim in the water, and a mob of whites surrounded the pool. And by nightfall, there were thousands of whites there, and they beat pretty ferociously, pretty viciously, the young black men who had swam in the pool. And I have a picture in the book of about five or six of these young black men who were the first black Americans to swim in the pool, and they were the ones who were beaten by the white mob as they exited it.
Must have taken an enormous amount of courage for the first black swimmers to break the color line to show up at those pools.
That's one of the things that amazed me most, is that part of the process of desegregating pools was what I call social protest, which is black swimmers going to a pool that has been earmarked for whites and then trying to seek entrance. And if they're not blocked at the gate from entering, going into a body of water, which is naturally a dangerous place to be because of the possibility of drowning, and subjecting themselves to the beatings by whites. And it was amazing that this was 16, 17, 18-year-old young men who knew that they would be beaten in the water and then oftentimes arrested afterwards by the police officers stationed at the pool, and yet they kept going back, which does give you some sense of the commitment that they had to racial equality and to civil rights.
Hmm. Now, originally, most of the public pools were not segregated, am I right?
Yeah, not racially segregated. And that was one of the interesting things that I found, is that during the late 19th century and the early 20th century, when pool use divided along gender lines, and that pools were really intended to serve the working classes, that blacks and whites swam together in relative harmony, that I found some examples of tension along white-black lines, but it really wasn't any different than the tension that I found along ethnic lines at the pools during this time period as well. And so one of the arguments that I make in the book is that during the late 19th and early 20th century, race as a social division and social distinction was in many ways less meaningful than class and gender as social distinctions and social divisions, at least in public spaces.
Well, this sort of suggests that the public pool provided a kind of space in which a certain number of barriers between people could be erased and people could meet as equals who might otherwise not normally meet as equals.
Yeah, that's one of the points that I make at the end of the book in the conclusion, which I really emphasize, that swimming pools as public spaces, and other public spaces as well, but I think swimming pools are in many ways unique because the interaction that occurs at pools is sustained, that people go to a pool for hours, several hours, oftentimes the entire day, whereas in other public spaces, the interaction is more fleeting. But my argument is that swimming pools really hold the possibility of challenging and eroding some of the social distinctions and social divisions that characterize other aspects of life. And so they hold out that promise. And yet, as the book, I think, very clearly demonstrates, swimming pools very rarely lived up to that promise, that most often they were used to divide Americans rather than bring them together.
I'm wondering, what is it about the pool that helps break down, in an ideal world, some of those class and racial distinctions? And I'm wondering if it's because at a swimming pool, people aren't wearing clothes, and clothes are such markers of class divide. you know, in a pool, here are all these people just reduced to the bear man or the bear woman, essentially.
I think that's exactly right. And so there are several ways that swimming pools help level social differences. And so the one that you're talking about is that when someone goes to a pool, they shed or leave behind most of the material markers of status in a consumer society. They're not in their car, they're away from their home, they shed most of their clothing except for a simple bathing suit, they give up most of their jewelry, and so people just kind of look natural. They don't have the material accoutrements. The other way in which swimming pools hold out the promise of leveling social differences is that they offer up some of the trappings of the good life to poor and working class Americans. And so when you're at a pool, especially the resort pools that were built during the 1920s and 1930s, everyone there has the opportunity to lay out and relax in the sun, to refresh themselves in cool water, and also to sort of expose themselves and to visually consume other bodies, just as you would do at a private resort, say along the beach. And yet municipal pools opened up those trappings of the good life to a much broader spectrum of Americans, poor and working class Americans included.
What happened to the municipal pool? Because they have gone seriously into decline, haven't they? A great many of them were closed down in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. There are several steps in the process of the decline of municipal pools. The first step was racial desegregation, which occurred in the North during the late 1940s and the early 1950s. And what I found is that when federal judges, and it was most often federal judges, that ordered cities to racially desegregate their pools, that millions and millions of white swimmers just stopped swimming at municipal pools. And so I've talked a bit about Fairgrounds Park Pool. It provides an illustrative example in that when Fairgrounds Park Pool was racially desegregated by a court order in 1950, the overall attendance plummeted by over 95%. And the overall attendance by whites plummeted by something like 98 or 99%. In other words, when blacks started swimming at Fairgrounds Park Pool, whites generally abandoned it. And I found the same thing occurred in pools really throughout the northern United States. And so at that point in time, city officials began to deprioritize the public importance of municipal pools. So they stopped building so many new pools. They let many of the pools already in existence fall into disrepair. And then when pools became too costly to operate, they simply closed them down. Then in the 1950s and the 1960s, many, many Americans began to build private club pools or to build pools in their backyards, which led to further declines in municipal pools. And so it was kind of a process that became a vicious cycle in which Americans, white Americans in particular, left municipal pools because of racial desegregation and then started to build private pools, and it led to more of a general trend towards the privatized provision of pools rather than municipal pools.
Well, and now aren't we seeing a number of cities going back to wanting to build public pools, though in a way it's like turning the clock way, way back, because I think there are a number of cities that are now building public pools essentially as kind of institutions for the poor or lower classes. They deliberately site them in the lower income areas, figuring, I guess, probably rightly, that the upper middle classes have their private pools.
Yeah. What I found in researching the building of new aquatic facilities is that there are some communities that are building new traditional pools. But what I found was more common was cities are building aquatic theme parks, that they're building facilities that contain water canyons and lily pads and other more entertainment-type features, and that they're really referring to them as aquatic theme parks rather than as traditional pools. And they really don't provide the same sort of interaction, I think, that had occurred at a traditional pool, in that what's provided at these aquatic theme parks is really entertainment for the children, that the children are sort of engaging with the water cannons and the lily pads and the other facilities there. And they're not having to interact so much with one another, which is what happened at municipal pools.
Jeff Wiltse is the author of Contested Waters, A Social History of Swimming Pools in America. He spoke with Anne Strain Champs.